وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خيرا مولانا سليم ساب for your great sacrifices and the du'as that you make for us and for the entire ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we welcome you this morning also to some ahadith and traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to the importance of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is a hadith that is reported by Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anh, that they were seated around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anh and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anh were also there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and went out somewhere. So he did not return for a long time, and they were worried lest some harm may have come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from an enemy. So they went out to look for him. And Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala said that he was the first to set out to look for him. So he reached the garden of Banu An-Najjar, a family of the Ansar. And this garden was enclosed in four walls. So he went around it, but could not find an entrance open till he found a small round irrigation duct which began at a well outside and went inside the garden. So he squeezed himself and entered the garden along it and found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Hurairah, and he replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, why have you come? So he replied, O Messenger of Allah, you were seated with us but went away. You did not return, so we were worried lest you should have come to some harm. So we all came out worried about the danger, and I was the first to come out till I came to this garden. When I could not find an entrance through which I could enter, so I squeezed myself like a fox and came in, and the others are coming behind me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave him his sandals, saying, take my sandals, my shoes, and whoever you meet outside the garden who testifies sincerely from the core of his heart that there is no God but Allah, give him the glad tidings of paradise. So the first person he met was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who asked, said, Abu Huraira, why the sandals in your hand? So he said, these belong to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who has sent me with them to give glad tidings of paradise, of Jannah, to the one who I meet and who testifies to La ilaha illallah, that there is no God worthy of worship but only Allah. So there's none other than Allah. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala hit him with his hand on his chest, which caused him to fall down on his hips, and he said, return back. So So he returned to Rasulullah weeping, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed him. So the Prophet asked him, "What has happened to you, Abu Huraira?" He said, "I met Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I conveyed your message to him, but he gave me a hard blow on my chest so that I fell down on my hips, and he asked me to turn back." So Rasulullah asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Oh Umar, why did you do that?" So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "May my parents be ransomed to you. Did you send Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu with your sandals, that if he met anyone who testifies to La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, he should give him glad tidings of paradise?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed that he had sent him with a message. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, "O Messenger of Allah, oh, don't do it, for I fear people may rely on the testimony of La ilaha illallah and neglect deeds. So let them perform deeds." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "So leave them alone." So the commentary of this hadith is quite interesting. So some things needed to be explained in this hadith. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give his sandals to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an? So the most plausible explanation is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them to him as a sign of authority, for the message was important, and at that time he did not have anything apart from his sandals to give him. So it's a proof that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam definitely sent that. So Rasulullah Pak said that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave him his sandals. Now if we look at the stern attitude of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, then we realize that he and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, they had a special relationship of confidant and assistants with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companions, they all recognize this. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had this right, and he often used it in dealing with other companions. So as a senior, he had asked Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to return to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now he may have hesitated because he was carrying an important message for all believers, which was an auspicious duty for him, and which he was unwilling to relinquish. So therefore, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu compelled him to return, confident as he was that he would convince Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding this message here. So indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed with him and prevented Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu from publicizing this message. So we must remember that Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala has permission to let other people know when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him the same tidings, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had disallowed him for the same reason as extended by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So even in this hadith, glad tidings of paradise are given against the testimony of the kalima la ilaha illallah. So a general explanation is the same as was explained in the previous hadith. There is a fair amount of hint in this hadith that such a person should first have to undergo punishment against his sins, then he will surely go to paradise. But that leaves no doubt whatsoever. So there's also another aspect to this declaration, that those who are very close to Allah sometimes experience tremendous awe and fear on the disclosure of divine wrath and retribution. At such times, they feel that no disobedient one will gain salvation, so they declare that sinners will not enter paradise. So similarly, when they experience unlimited hope against divine mercy and benevolence, they feel that even a little good will save one, and they declare accordingly. So, to understand this hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the orchard of Banu Najjar, and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a very, very high stage of contemplation, and he was contemplating the unlimited mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was in that condition that he gave his sandals to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and instructed him to convey the news of paradise to everyone who witnesses the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, however, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was aware of these, you know, lofty states of temperament and conditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he prevented Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala from conveying the news to others till he had investigated it with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we can also say that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had sensed, you know, this very lofty condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his heart and what he was going through, experiencing the unlimited mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had disclosed it to him at that time. So he also realized that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, with of the high stage of contemplation he was in at that particular time, gazing on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would see the other side also of the declaration, and he would disallow the spreading of this news, because everybody would then take it very, very lightly, and they would commit themselves to other evil acts. But now we understand that that was a very, very lofty position and a very, very high stage, a temperament of closeness and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings that eventually the person who says La ilaha illallah will enter into Jannah. So indeed, this is a very, very interesting hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most important thing is when we make a declaration, you know, even at the time of nikah, and we say nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, that we have committed ourselves in wedlock, you know, and we have married the spouse already. We say it in the past tense, and then we do not mention all the other responsibilities of marriage that follow with it, but that follows automatically when we make this declaration. In the same way, when a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then everything that is attached to this kalima in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he sticks by that and he stands by that. And everything that is entailed in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he submits to that as well. And this is the beauty of Islam, to submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his infinite grace and mercy, give us the tawfiq of understanding the true value of the kalima, and to disseminate, you know, this message of this kalima and its importance, you know, to everybody around us, you know, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us in our ranks. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. الحمد لله رب العالمين